My name's Pippa King. I'm a mum of two boys that were nearly fingerprinted back in 2005 when they were 6 and 7 years old for a library system. And the school weren't going to ask for my consent, so I campaigned for the next 7 years to hopefully get some sort of consent from parents before schools took that level of information from the children. So in the Protection of Freedoms Bill, which was passed in May 2012, there were three clauses in there. So schools from September 2013 have to gain written parental consent to store children's biometrics in schools in the UK. Ultimately, it's the parents' decision for any under 18-year-old's biometric data to be held by a school. So if the parent decides not, then that's basically it. The school cannot take it, even if the child wants to. But if the parent decides that it's okay for the school to take the biometric data and the child chooses not to, the child's decision overrides the parent's consent for it.
Why were you so annoyed about this, that you weren't asked? What was your problem with this technology? I mean, it sounds like you're being almost like a Luddite and trying to stop progress, because this is all designed to make people's and children's school life easier, surely.
The level of information you have to give over in a biometric fingerprint or a facial scan is unproportionate to get a library book out or to get food, I feel. If other parents or children feel that it's okay, that's entirely up to them. I'm not in the business of telling people what to do. I just think different people have different levels of privacy. And certainly, it sends quite a strong message to a child, I think, especially at primary school and at secondary school, that they have to give over that level of information for food and knowledge in the form of library books or access to areas, when actually it's not necessary to give that level of information up.
Tell us about the types of biometric information. I mean, I've heard of, obviously, fingerprinting, but do they do things like scanning your eyes as well? Because once they've got that information, that's there forever, and it may be even possibly sold on to other agencies in the future.
In the UK, we were the first country in the world to start using biometrics in schools, and initially they were using fingerprints. But we've also had iris scans, palm scans, facial recognition. But the predominant technology that seems to work well in schools is fingerprint technology. Interestingly, in 2007, David Smith, the Deputy Information Commissioner, said to a House of Commons Select Committee that if the police wanted to access the database of the school to see if they could solve a crime, they could do, and not necessarily tell the child or the parent that they'd had access to that information. So once you give up that information, you don't actually know where it's going to go. We've not got a great track record in this country with the police DNA database. So certainly for me, myself, personally, I wanted to exercise prudence, but I almost wasn't given the decision because the head teacher told me that she could actually take my children's fingerprints and not tell me about it, which is actually completely true. So hence the campaigning to try and gain consent from parents. So when I looked into it, the Data Protection Act that we have in the UK, technology is running at a faster rate than the laws are changing. So under the Data Protection Act, anything that's classed as sensitive data, schools have to ask parents' permission for. So racial type, ethnicity, and biometric data wasn't classed under that. So technically, schools could harvest children's biometric data in whatever form they wanted to and not inform their parents they had a database of it.
What sort of excuses or reasons are given that this technology is actually useful, helpful, and actually going to be good for the children and good for the school?
I think initially these systems are sold to schools in order for them to save time and to be more efficient. But in order to convince parents that it is good for the child, there's been instances of the schools saying, well, it improves eating habits, yeah, it improves reading habits.
How does it improve an eating habit or a reading habit?
I don't know. It's never been proved. There's been no sort of good analysis data that's been shown to me that that's the case. I mean, if you want to improve reading habits, then, you know, there are other ways to encourage children rather than use fingerprint biometrics to get a library book out. But yes, we've had iris scans that were trialled, infrared face scans, infrared palm scans, infrared fingerprint scans. From my point of view, I've just sort of looked over the past sort of since 2005 to 2012 at what's happening to the UK school population, and the biometric industry seems to have come in and tested different types of biometrics in different ways in different situations, like library books, payment systems, locker access. And I think the biometric of choice seems to be the fingerprint. That seems to be the most efficient one. So it's been a good thing for the industry to come in and sort of test it. They've started to introduce biometrics in the States, I think, about 5 years ago, and they are using more infrared palm scanning, I think, than we are in the UK. And there was a recent case in Florida where the school had iris scanned the whole school population without telling the parents, just so they could get on a bus and so they could monitor how they were getting to and from school so no child was lost, and this was at a high school, and that caused uproar. So different states in America do have different consent laws. A couple of states have banned biometrics. So there is a reaction to the technology because we, as an adult population, don't use it. It sort of takes away our opportunity to educate our own children in how to be responsible when using technology. And that was sort of taken away from millions of parents in the UK when the schools just started fingerprinting without consent. You know, we had no chance to educate our kids in how to use it.
Now, another type of monitoring is this RFID chip. What does the RFID stand for, and what different types of that are there?
Well, RFID stands for radio frequency identification. And there are two types of RFID chips, and the ones that we are most familiar with as adults, and the only ones that we actually use really, are passive chips. So Oyster card is a passive chip, the Barclays Connect card is passive. It's when you can swipe a card near to a reader and not, it's contactless technology basically, you're not contacting it, and then it exchanges information and then the card goes back to sleep again when you put it in your wallet, essentially.
So the idea is that if it's a passive chip, that you're putting it near a sort of antenna which is constantly scanning, and it detects the chip and somehow gets a reading from it.
That's right, yeah. And that type of RFID is used in schools in the UK for photocopier use and I think a little bit of access control, though it's not very prevalent. But there's another type of RFID which is active RFID, so essentially you carry an antenna on you and sensors around, say, a school can pick up where you are and triangulate you. That has been happening in the States, and there was some controversy last year when a schoolgirl had refused to carry it around with her because of religious reasons, but actually, privacy-wise, it's very invasive because the school potentially can see where your child is all the time, which could be a good thing. You know, it could protect the child's safety. But there are a number of issues that come up when children are using this type of technology, because when the obvious one would be, the child would give its RFID card to another child and then go off premises. And it says, for all sense and purposes, you know, the school is then lulled into a false sense of security knowing where the child is, but it actually doesn't. So it's,
well, maybe they all start thinking we're going to have to fix these chips to the children, maybe even, you know, embed them inside their skin or something. That's the sort of excuse that you can almost imagine them saying, well, we can't allow the children to be exchanging their active RFID chips. But how's the sort of information from that read out? Is it a sort of display screen with a map of the school and little dots or something of where the children are? I mean, how is that information actually used by the school?
That's absolutely right, it is. Yeah, the schools can, certainly in the United States, have a look at a 2D screen and watch the children and see their location. But there has been a college in the UK that started using this type of technology with their students in 2010, and they've been tagging their children, the students in their college, up to February this year, and not one parent or student has objected at all, which certainly, having experience sort of looking at the biometric technology, parents did object. It's unclear how consent was gained from these pupils at this college, so I don't know. It's such a new technology that as far as I'm aware, there's only been one instance of it in the UK, but I think it will come because it's happening in the States. And it's a very convenient technology for the schools to secure funding on attendance, because they can absolutely see who's in school at what time, even if they're not in a classroom. And this is what it's being sold as in the United States. And certainly in this further education college in the UK, this 14 to 19 college, they were using it there for attendance. But in the wake of Sandy Hook, the RFID in the United States is really rolling out on the grounds of safety, keeping our kids safe and knowing where they are.
Well, how's it going to stop somebody bringing a gun into a school, having little chips tracing children around?
Good question. I mean, all you can do is see where the child is and see where the teachers are. But it's been quite successful in making schools buy the technology. But, you know, schools are that dangerous that you have to use this type of technology to keep your children safe. You wouldn't send your child to school, would you? It's almost sort of like prison technology.
Now, what about your own children? Because I know that you started asking questions, didn't you? Tell us about that and what happened when you started asking questions of your schools.
Well, I asked the head teacher when she was planning on asking for consent from me to see if I could, you know, she could store my children's biometric data, and she just calmly said, I don't need your consent to do this. And the way she'd got that information was because the manufacturer, the vendor, basically said to her, you don't need to ask for consent, and it sort of sold her on that idea that she could use it as an efficient technology to see who was taking library books out of the school.
So was that a private company?
Yeah, it was a private company that had done that, yeah. Biometric technology, effectively, I think, probably will be regulated out of the school's market in September because of the cumbersome consent that now has to be gained from parents. I had a look to see if any of the RFID was coming into to schools in the UK, and sure enough, there was a further education college in just south of Liverpool, West Cheshire College, that had been trialling active RFID. So essentially the pupils were wearing a lanyard around their neck, which was acting as an antenna. So the pupils have been wearing that for the past 3 years, since 2010. And the school have been using this for registration purposes, but they can also, as they were quoted in the RFID journal, also looking at children's associations by peer group. So essentially they're looking at a computer screen with a 2D image of the school with green blobs moving around, and those are the children. And so they were trialling that for 3 years, and I started to ask some Freedom of Information requests about how consent was gained. And there was a journalist from a national newspaper that had rung the school in February with a view to doing an article about it. Coincidentally, on the very same day, the school had decided to switch off the RFID tags and had concluded the trial. So there was no story there. So
interesting. And the database that's kept from these trials, is that accessible just to the school? Or presumably there's a private business that's actually doing these tests on the children and on that school. And it seems strange to me that such a, what is potentially actually a commercial operation, that they don't even need consent for it.
Well, under the law, again, we're sort of facing a similar situation where the technology is coming into schools and the Data Protection Act is not equipped to deal with it. And unfortunately, neither is the Protection of Freedoms Act, because that is very specific just on biometrics, and it hasn't included RFID. So potentially we've got the same situation where we could have a technology that's brought into schools where the adult population isn't using it with active RFID, and parents being unaware that other adults are seeing where their children are. Sensitive areas such as showers, toilets, school nurse. If there was some level of communication with parents and assurances could be made as to what information the child is giving the people that are seeing where they are, then maybe, you know, personally for me, I would never accept it as a technology with my children, but it might go some way to reassure parents that it's doing a good job. But essentially, this trial at West Cheshire College was covert, and it was reported in the RFID journal, and Zebra Technologies themselves, the company that supplied the RFID, had a press release after I had started asking questions about how they'd gained consent from pupils, and the national newspaper journalists had rung them. All the articles on both their websites, on the RFID journal and Zebra Technologies, were taken off.
And now that sounds to me really actually quite an indication that this is a secret test, particularly that the parents aren't being asked, the children aren't being asked, and then as soon as the national press takes an interest, they switch the test off and run away. I mean, that sounds to me as if they've got something to hide.
It would seem so. I mean, there's been no reporting of it at all, not even in the local paper there. And it has been, and I think with RFID, because it's such a silent technology, unlike biometrics, there's a physical action of standing in front of a scanner with your face or your iris, or, you know, putting your thumb towards a thumbprint reader. With this, it's a technology that's working all the time, active RFID. And there's no interaction physically that you have to do with it. It's a silent technology. And it's easy then, I think, to forget the effect. It's almost like the Big Brother household. I don't know if everybody's watched Big Brother, but they forget after a while they're being monitored. And I suspect this is the case, has been the case here. And I don't feel that it's been explained sufficiently to the pupils. Certainly the college couldn't explain to me under a Freedom of Information request how they'd told the pupils what was going on with the active RFID they were carrying. The answer they gave me was, we simply informed them at enrolment, and that is it.
So they were informed but not asked. So what about this particular type of RFID technology, this Zebra firm and the stuff they were working with? Has it resurfaced at other colleges or elsewhere?
As far as I know, there's no other colleges in the UK using active RFID. However, the same technology reappeared, I think, less than a month or maybe a month later in Holland, where there's a Dutch farmer there that has tagged his herd of cows with the exact same ultra-wideband technology that was used on the children at West Cheshire College. Zebra Technologies have... there's a video online you can watch on YouTube about the technology that's used on the Dutch farm. But they're identifying the cows. They can see where the cows move. It is the exact same technology by the exact same company.
What about what's driving this, where it's all coming from and where it's all leading to? Any thoughts about that?
The type of technology that was used in West Cheshire College is a radio frequency called ultra-wideband. So basically this type of active RFID sends a splash of signal out across a little range. It's military-grade RFID. So it gives a more accurate positioning and it doesn't interfere with other types of radio frequencies. So it's a cleaner technology, I suppose, in that respect. But certainly in the United States, they've been tagging children with active RFID over there, which is a different frequency, which was coming in at 433 megahertz. And again, these tags are active for 24 hours a day. They're not switched off when you leave the school. This has been the case in the United States and the UK. Coincidentally, the type of RFID that the children are wearing in the United States has a specific standard number that was developed by Lockheed Martin about 7 or 8 years ago. And Lockheed Martin developed this particular RFID, this standard number of RFID, for the United States' defence and NATO's inter-visibility transport network. So essentially there are sensors around the United States and in NATO countries that can pick up 433 megahertz. The United States would, I presume, be tagging things like tanks, guns, heavy equipment, so that they can see where their equipment is around the world. And these students in Texas were wearing the tags at the exact same frequency. Of course, the school had said to the students, you know, don't worry, you can't be tracked outside school. I can't say that the American military is tracking children outside school. All I can say is that it has the capability to do so because it's the exact same frequency. And in fact, if you wanted to sell that frequency, 433 megahertz, anywhere in the world, it has to be that ISO number because that is Lockheed Martin's intellectual property. So the potential is there to be tracked.
Now, Lockheed Martin are a massive defence contractor. What possible interest could they have watching children as they walk around inside a school?
I guess they probably haven't got an interest in doing that, though if you could potentially see 2 decades, a decade, 3 decades down the line, some people might suggest that tagging humans and having chips on us constantly would be a good thing, because then we could use it for payment, we could see where people are, you know, we can protect people with dementia, that sort of thing. There's arguments to be had for doing that. I personally don't agree with any of them. I don't think we should be chipping any human being. But, you know, who knows? This technology is moving so fast. And at the moment, the Food and Drugs Administration in the States is in the process of standardising an RFID chip, an active chip, that goes in a pill. And as it travels through your body, it can give readings out to your phone of your temperature, how your, you know, juices in your guts are doing, your heart rate. And then your phone will communicate with your doctor. So I think we'll probably see more of this type of technology coming in through healthcare.
What about just the general extent of these sorts of trials of RFID and biometrics in school? How many school children, as a sort of proportion of the total, are undergoing these, effectively, I suppose, are trials still at the moment?
Well, the UK school population is around about 9.5 million. And in 2007, through a series of Freedom of Information requests, we estimated that about 2.7 million children in the UK had their biometric data on a school database. From time to time, you'll see that 2.7 million children sort of quote run out in the press again, but given that was 6 years ago now, I would imagine it would be nearer 50-60% at the very minimum.
Okay, and is there anything that parents can do if they decide to change their mind, for example, that they don't actually want their children to have to carry these chips around school, or else to erase information which is already there on a database, an iris scan, a thumbprint, a fingerprint, or a palm scan?
If your child's using biometric technology, if you're not happy with that, then simply don't sign the consent form that you should have had if your child's school is using it. Or if you do decide that's okay and then decide it's not, you need to inform the school in writing and the school would have to destroy the biometric data on the database. As far as RFID is concerned, there is no legal obligation for the schools to ask for consent. This is, again, back where we were in 2001 when biometrics came into schools. But if your child is a piece of plastic that it's carrying around, it's responsible of both yourself and the child, I suppose, to know what it is that you're carrying. Is it a passive chip, which probably quite likely that it is passive at the moment. But, you know, because it's a silent technology, you don't know what it is. Find out what you're carrying. Find out what it's being used for. And if you're not happy with it, then voice some concerns and get the school to talk to you about it.
What bothers me is that there doesn't seem to be any proper public debate at all about this, and yet it's just being foisted on our children, often without the parents' knowledge. I mean, it just seemed like almost like a sort of stealth technology.
It's interesting how these technologies are being brought in at schools rather than being brought into the general population. I think if a society wants to mould itself in the long term, then certainly going into schools and dealing with children's education is the way to go, which is one of my concerns about it. But there should be absolute debate on this. I mean, I wouldn't want to be tagged with an RFID chip. I'd like to think that I had a choice if it was somebody who had offered it to me. And I think children should have a choice as well. But apart from all the privacy and civil liberty issues, there's mounting evidence that radio frequencies that close to the body are really harmful on especially younger, undeveloped bodies. And adult bodies are able to cope with radio frequencies and absorb them in a lesser quantity than developing cells in younger children are. So I think if there's any concerns about medical issues, which there are with mobile phones, this is not a good technology for children to be using at all.
What about the whole sort of herd mentality? Because I know kids are particularly sensitive about one child, say, or two children in a school being seen as separate to all the rest.
Yes, I had a parent get in touch recently whose child actually went for enrolment at a secondary high school, and the school had said to the child, you know, get your mummy to sign this piece of paper, otherwise you won't be allowed in the canteen to sit with your friends at dinner time. And the child was obviously upset and had come home desperate for his mum to sign this piece of paper, which she didn't, thankfully. She raised the issue with the school and the school backtracked. We also had an instance a few years ago of a school in Leeds, Morley High School, who had actually said to the parents, if you don't like it — they hadn't asked for consent, they just said, we're doing it — and if you object to it, then your child will sit outside and eat a packed lunch. And they had a little shelter where these children went. It wasn't even, you know, I think it was just a roof where the children had to go and eat their own packed lunch. They weren't allowed actually in the school to eat, which I think is a shameful state of affairs.
Well, if your child is saying you've got to sign this to the parents and they're in two minds, then they're going to sign it, aren't they?
Well, the school legally has to offer an alternative method. You can't discriminate against a child in any way, shape or form if they choose not to, or their parents choose not for them to participate in a biometric database. The school has to legally provide another method for the child to participate. So there's no danger of children not having access to areas or access to food. But the way that you have to ask consent, and this is what the government has recommended and told schools to do, is to offer an alternative. In instance, schools have been implying there is no alternative, and that isn't really consent, that sort of coerced consent. So one of the exercises I'd like to do in the autumn, because this becomes effective in September, where the schools need written consent, is to actually use the Freedom of Information Act and gather some letters of consent that parents have received from schools, just to see how the schools have been asking for consent.
Now, to what extent are these trials still, and to what extent is this becoming normal in Britain's schools?
It's entirely up to each school, really. I personally, I'm not sure whether the technology will survive in schools, because if you've got a school full of 1,000 children, you have to be seen to be getting in touch with both parents, because certainly when it was going through Parliament, both parents have got a genetic moratorium on their children. So if the parents had to split up, the school has to try and get in touch with both parents. So as I say, if you've got a school population of 1,000, that's potentially, you know, 2,000 letters you've got to send out, 1,000 signatures you've got to collect. And then if everybody doesn't agree and you've only got one person out of 1,000 that doesn't agree, you've then got to offer an alternative system. So you've got two systems running side by side, which can't be an efficient way to run a school, lunch, canteen, or a library system, or a locker system, or a payment system. So I think probably we'll see less of the biometrics, perhaps, and more of the RFID. But the problem with RFID is chips can be passed around from child to child, and then you've got false information coming through. And certainly what they're doing in the United States, not in the school population, but they're verifying a chip with a fingerprint so that the system can see that that body is attached to that chip. So I think in the long term, that's where we'll see the two technologies sort of merge a little bit.
Whereabouts can we find your campaign and website, that sort of thing?
I have a website that deals specifically with biometrics in schools, so you could put into a search engine biometrics in schools. The website is www.pippaking, that's pippaking.blogspot.com. And I have a website dealing with the RFID in UK schools and schools abroad, which is rfidinschools.com. But again, if you type into search engine against RFID in schools, you'll come up with that website.
And is there a sort of network of concerned parents in this area that are sharing information?
On the biometrics, yes, there is, because that's out in the open and schools are communicating with parents about it. On the RFID front, I am in touch with one parent of one child at West Cheshire College who was aware that his child had been tagged with active RFID only because the secondary school he was at, this child was going on a day release to West Cheshire College, had decided to introduce biometrics, and he actually got in touch with me via the biometric sort of issue, and through talking, it turned out his child was on a day release at West Cheshire College and had been tagged as well. So as far as on the RFID, it's a very newly emerging market, so we'll just see how that goes.